This morning I was looking at Lord Jagannath's Snana Yatra video. Finally I got to see Lord Jagannath being brought out of the temple. So impressive, so big, and particularly with that type of crown that he's wearing, which seems almost as big as he is. It makes him look really gigantic, enormous. It's always been my plan that at least one time I'd go and directly see Jagannath there, although our Rath Yatra festivals are non-different. At the same time, there's certainly a difference in terms of the facility, participation, tradition, and great support that Rath Yatra Festival in Puri has. Anyway, I'll continue to read this final chapter of Krishna book for pleasure of Lord Jagannath, who's on his way from the Dwarka that's being described here to Vrindavan, which is also being described here. After enjoying fully amongst themselves, the queens and Lord Krishna would come out of the water and they would give up their wet garments, which were very valuable, to be taken away by the professional singers and dancers. These singers and dancers had no means of subsistence. These singers and dancers had no means of subsistence other than the rewards of valuable garments and ornaments left by the queens and kings on such occasions. The whole system of society was so well planned that all the members of society in their different positions as Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras had no difficulty in earning their livelihood. There was no competition amongst the divisions of society. The original conception of caste system was so planned that a group of men engaged in a particular type of occupation would not compete with another group of men engaged in a different occupation. In this way, Lord Krishna used to enjoy the company of his 16,000 wives. Some devotees of the Lord who want to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the mellow of conjugal love are elevated to the position of becoming wives of Krishna, and Krishna keeps them always attached to him by his kind behavior. Krishna's behavior with his wives, his movements, his talking with them, his smiling, his embracing, and similar other activities, which are just like those of a loving husband, kept them always very much attached to him. That is the highest perfection of life. If someone remains always attached to Krishna, it is to be understood that he is liberated and his life is successful. With any devotee who loves Krishna with his heart and soul, Krishna reciprocates in such a way that the devotee cannot but remain attached to him. The reciprocal dealings of Krishna and his devotees are so attractive that the devotee cannot think of any subject matter other than Krishna. For all the queens, Krishna was their only worshipable object. They were always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, the lotus-eyed and beautifully blackish personality of Godhead. Sometimes in thought of Krishna they remained silent, and in great ecstasy of bhav and anubhav they sometimes spoke as if in delirium. Sometimes even in the presence of the Lord they vividly described the pastimes they had enjoyed in the lake or river with him. Such are the talk. Some of such talk is described here. The queen said, "My dear Kurari bird, now it is very late at night. Everyone is sleeping. The whole world is now calm and peaceful. At this time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is sleeping, although his knowledge is undisturbed by any circumstance. Then why are you not sleeping? Why are you not lamenting like this throughout the whole night? Dear friend, is it that you are also attracted by the lotus eyes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and by his sweet smiling and attractive words exactly as we are? Do those dealings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead pinch your heart as they do ours? Hello, Chakravaki. Why have you closed your eyes? Are you searching after your husband who may have gone to foreign countries? Why are you lamenting so pitiably? Alas, it appears that you are very much aggrieved. Or is it a fact that you are willing to become an eternal servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? We think that you are anxious to put a garland on the lotus feet of the Lord and then place it on your hair. O dear ocean, why are you roaring all day and night? Don't you like to sleep? We think that you have been attacked by insomnia, or if we are not wrong, our dear Shyamasundar has tactfully taken away your gravity and power of forbearance, which are your natural qualifications. Is it a fact that for this reason you are suffering from insomnia like us? Yes, we admit that there is no remedy for this disease. Dear Moon God, we think that you have been attacked by a severe type of tuberculosis. For this reason, you are becoming thinner and thinner day by day. O Lord, you are now so weak that your thin rays cannot dissipate the darkness of night. Or is it a fact that, just like us, you have been stunned by the mysteriously sweet words of our Lord, Shamsundar? Is it a fact that it is because of this severe anxiety that you are so grave? O breeze from the Himalayas, what have we done to you that you are so intent on teasing us by awakening our lust to meet Krishna? Do you not know that we have already been injured by the crooked policy of the personality of Godhead? Dear Himalayan breeze, please know that we have already been stricken. There is no need to injure us more and more. Dear beautiful cloud, the color of your beautiful body exactly resembles the bodily hue of our dear most Shamsundar. We think, therefore, that you are very dear to our Lord, the chief of the dynasty of the Yadus, and because you are so dear to him, you are absorbed in meditation exactly as we are. We can appreciate that your heart is full of anxiety for Shamsundar. You appear excessively eager to see him, and we see that for this reason only, drops of tears are gliding down from your eyes just as they are from ours. Dear Black Cloud, we must admit frankly that to establish an intimate relationship with Shamsundar means to purchase unnecessary anxieties while we are otherwise comfortable at home. Generally, the cuckoo sounds its cooing vibration at the end of night or early in the morning. When the queens heard the cooing of the cuckoo at the end of night, they said, "Dear cuckoo, your voice is very sweet. As soon as you vibrate your sweet voice, we immediately remember Shamsundar, because your voice exactly remembers his. You must frankly admit that your voice is imbued with nectar, and it is so invigorating that it is competent to bring back to life those who are almost dead in separation from their dearmost friend. So we are very much obliged to you. Please let us know how we can welcome you or how we can do something for you." The queens continued talking like that, and they addressed the mountains as follows. "Dear mountain, you are very gorgeous. By your gravity only, the whole crust of the earth is properly maintained. Although because you are discharging your duties very faithfully, you do not know how to move. Because you are so grave, you do not move hither and thither, nor do you say anything. Rather, you always appear in a thoughtful mood. It may be that you are always thinking of a very grave and important subject matter, but we can guess very clearly what you are thinking of. We are sure that you are thinking of placing the lotus feet of Shamsundar on your raised peaks, as we want to place his lotus feet on our raised breasts. Dear dry rivers, we know that because this is the summer season, all your beds are dry and you have no water. Because all your water has now been dried up, you are no longer beautified by blooming lotus flowers. At the present moment, you appear very lean and thin, so we cannot understand that your position is actually like ours. We have lost everything due to being separated from Shamsundar, and we no longer hear his pleasing words. Our hearts no longer work properly, and therefore we also have become very lean and thin. We think, therefore, that you are just like us. You have turned lean and thin because you are not getting any water from your husband, the ocean, through the clouds. The example given herewith by the queens is very appropriate. The river reds become dry when the ocean no longer supplies water through the clouds. The ocean is supposed to be the husband of the river, and therefore is supposed to support her. Unless a woman is supported by her husband with the necessities of life, she also becomes as dry as a dry river. One queen addressed the swan as follows. "My dear swan, please come here. Come here. You are welcome. Please sit down and take some milk. My dear swan, can you tell me if you have any message from Shamsundar? I take you to be a messenger from him. If you have any such news, please tell me. Our Shamsundar is always very independent. He never comes under the control of anyone. We have all failed to control him, and therefore we ask you, is he keeping himself well? I may inform you that Shamsundar is very fickle. His friendship is always temporary. It breaks even by slight agitation. But would you kindly explain why he is so unkind to me? Formerly, he said that I alone am his dearmost wife. Does he remember this assurance? Anyway, you're welcome. Please sit down." but I cannot accept your entreati to go to Shyamasundar. When he does not care for me, why should I be mad after him? I'm very sorry to let you know that you have become the messenger of a poor-hearted soul. You are asking me to go to him, but I'm not going. What is that? You talk of his coming to me. There's a desire to come here to fulfill my long expectation for him. All right, you may bring him here, but don't bring him here with his most beloved goddess of fortune. Do you think that he cannot be separated from the goddess of fortune, even for a moment? Could he not come here alone without Lakshmi? His behavior is very displeasing. Does it mean that without Lakshmi, Shyamasundara cannot be happy? Can't he be happy with any other wife? Does it mean that the goddess of fortune has the ocean of love for him and none of us can compare to her? All the wives of Lord Krishna were completely absorbed in thoughts of him. Krishna is known as Yogeshwar, the master of all yogis. And all the wives of Krishna at Dwarka used to keep this Yogeshwar within their hearts. Instead of trying to be master of all yogic mystic power, it is better if one simply keeps the supreme Yogeshwar Krishna within his heart. Thus, one's life can become perfect, and one can very easily be transferred to the kingdom of God. It is to be understood that all the queens of Krishna who lived with him at Dwarka were in their previous lives very greatly exalted devotees who wanted to establish a relationship with Krishna in conjugal love. Thus, they were given the ultimate chance to become his wives and enjoy a constant loving relationship with him. Ultimately, they were all transferred to the Vaikuntha planets. Well, that's it for today. We'll continue again tomorrow. Hare Krishna.